afterward. I ought to explain that when the story refers to a Tong man, he is not one of the notorious Tong men or hatchet men. As the story notes, the word Tang refers to the Tang dynasty, which ruled from 618 to 907 AD, and is more properly spelled T-ANG. The Tong of the hatchet men is translated as brotherhood in the story, and means a hall or a court, and by extension, a lodge or a fraternity. I should also warn thoughtful readers that Dragon Wings is more of a historical fantasy than a factual reconstruction. I was intrigued when I first read the newspaper accounts of the young Chinese flyer, Feng Zhou Gui. He flew in the hills of Oakland on September 22, 1909, for 20 minutes, before a mishap with one propeller brought his biplane down. Not only had the ingenious Feng Zhou Gui improved upon the Wright's original design, but he had also made his own wireless sets and telephones, which he distributed among other interested Chinese. He had plans to build a new biplane of steel pipes and silk. Did he ever build that new biplane? I do not know. Nor do I know why he built that first biplane. I do not even know where he came from or whether he had a wife and a family. Like the other Chinese who came to America, he remains a shadowy figure. Of the hundreds of thousands of Chinese who flock to these shores, we know next to nothing. They remain a dull, faceless mass, a statistical fodder to be fed to the sociologists or lifeless abstractions to be manipulated by historians. And yet these Chinese were human beings, with fears and hopes, joys and sorrows like the rest of us. In the adventures of the various members of the company of the Peach Orchard Vow, I have tried to make some of these dry historical facts become living experiences. At the same time, I have tried to be reasonably faithful to the period. E. Nesbitt was then a new and promising author in England. Theodore Roosevelt was regarded as something of a wild-eyed radical by right-wingers, and he did get into office because of a presidential assassination. Similarly, I have tried to follow the facts of the Chinese-American experience when I could find them, including a description of a Chinese laundry before the earthquake. At the same time, it has been my aim to counter various stereotypes as presented in the media. Dr. Fu Manchu and his yellow hordes, Charlie Chan and his fortune cookie wisdom, the laundrymen and cooks of the movie and television westerns, and the houseboys of various comedies present an image of Chinese not as they really are, but as they exist in the mind of white America. I wanted to show that Chinese Americans are human beings upon whom America has had a unique effect. I've tried to do this by seeing America through the eyes of a recently arrived Chinese boy, and by presenting the struggles of his father in following his dream.